So we spent last week looking at the Holy Spirit and busting some myths about the Holy Spirit. Five things that people say about the Holy Spirit that simply are not true. And we debunked various myths, didn't we? We debunked the myth that we don't need the Holy Spirit because we have the Bible. We debunked the myth that God's Holy Spirit is less than somehow the Father or the Son. We debunked the myth that the Holy Spirit is scary or like the Star Wars force. We debunked the myth that people do odd things because of the Holy Spirit. In my experience, people will do odd things because of people, not because of the Holy Spirit. And finally, we debunked perhaps the biggest myth of all, that the Holy Spirit is reserved for super Christians. No, the Holy Spirit is for everyone who would call themselves an apprentice to Jesus. So as we move forward this week, we are looking at what it means to be a friend of the Holy Spirit, to be befriended, as it were, by the Holy Spirit. So as we do that, consider these words as we look at what it means to understand our friend and understand who we're hearing. Consider these Christianese words. Have I mentioned Christianese before? Christianese are those words that sound sort of super holy, but actually in reality, no one really knows quite what they mean. For example, have you ever heard someone like me say, "I have a picture for you"? And you're sort of like, "Well, that's great, Max, but I have plenty of pictures at home." Or have you heard someone like me say, "I heard from God"? What did he do? Did he write you a letter? Did he say hello? Did he send a text? Or the classic Christianese, "God spoke to me"? What, audibly? Did God suddenly say to you, "Hello, Max"? Well, no, he didn't. Of course he didn't. Is it any wonder that people get confused by the way that the Holy Spirit communicates with us when we use words like those which mean one thing in everyday life, and somehow we put a new meaning upon them with the Holy Spirit? I mean, don't get me wrong, I believe God can audibly speak to people. And I was going to say that actually he's never audibly spoken to me, but I'm not sure that's entirely true. I think he may have once audibly spoken to me. But in general, I want to say that actually that's not the way the Holy Spirit normally communicates. In my experience of the Holy Spirit, he is gentle, he is a friend, he is a counsellor. And he tends to communicate in subtle ways, which is good, but also is difficult, isn't it? I mean, how do we know that we're actually hearing the Holy Spirit? Is the voice of God, Spirit, simply an overactive imagination? How do I know where I'm hearing the Holy Spirit and not some counterfeit? Or how can I know that I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, that I'm not deceived or deluded or have some fashion of mental illness? Is it even possible to verify what we hear from God's Spirit? And what about those times when actually we're just completely wrong? Well, I hope as we explore being befriended by the Holy Spirit this morning and how we understand when we hear from him and not other things, I hope we can answer some of those questions. So what we're going to do is we're going to break this down into three areas, because when I hear the Holy Spirit, I generally use three ways of discerning if it is of God or if it isn't. And normally I do this naturally, but I was quite surprised when I read that book by Brad Jerzyk, the book that's called Can You Hear Me? On the Holy Spirit. I was quite surprised when I came across his chapter on discerning whether we are hearing from the Spirit or not, the way he structured it, because it was exactly what I do naturally. He said that we need to test the source, that we need to test the content, and that we need to test the fruit. And so I'm just going to walk through those three things this morning in the hope that we can answer some of the questions that we have. Last week, as we finished, I said to you, don't wait until the end of the series to start interacting with God's Spirit. Simply go away, and when you think you hear of God, when a nudge comes upon you, when you have some words in your mind, ask the one question, pray the one line, Spirit, is that of you? Are you of Jesus. And what I was doing by that was I was saying, test the source. Test the source. Because here the idea is that actually we want to know that the source truly is God. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. It says, now about the gift of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one says, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So here are, as you test the source, here are some questions you might ask. Am I hearing what I'm hearing? Does that acknowledge that Jesus is Lord? Does this nudge that I have acknowledge that Jesus came to rescue us? Does the thought that is in my head delight in the fact that Jesus is King? In short, is this nudge, these words, do they honour God as God? Or as our reading earlier on put it, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. So if my prayer, if in my prayer I felt that God was saying something along the lines of, well, you know, Jesus is a good teacher, but you know what you want to do, you know what you should do, so why don't you just go and do what you want to do anyway? You see, I would know at that point that was most unlikely to be the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't acknowledge Jesus as Lord. It acknowledges me as Lord in my life. So I simply would say a prayer along the lines of, Lord Jesus, would you show me the true nature of the one who is speaking? Lord Jesus, would you show me the true nature of the one who is speaking? Are the words that I am hearing a point of view of you? Because they don't sound that way. Or is it more likely a false spirit or simply my own desires? So test the source. Spirit, is that of you? Are you of Jesus? And then once we've tested the source, we can move on to test the content. Does what I am hearing line up with what I read in the Bible? Does it line up with what I hear from other Christians that I've trusted and have trusted over the years and who have worshipped God for millennia? And does it line up with my own experience of the Holy Spirit? You see, this book that we call the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So does what I'm hearing line up with what's in this book? If it doesn't, then surely that cannot be the Holy Spirit. Traditionally, Christians throughout the ages have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. So does what I'm hearing in this nudge line up with what the Holy Spirit says? Now, we know our faith is a living faith and people can and have been wrong. But if what I believe I am hearing from the Holy Spirit is in conflict with those who have walked the same path before me, I would have to give some serious consideration about whether it is truly of God or not. And I certainly would not rush to judgment. And then finally, with the testing of the content, does what I'm hearing, does what I'm feeling line up with my own understanding of who the Spirit is? You see, we read from 1 John. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. You do not need anyone to teach you. By your very nature, you know, because you are a follower and apprentice of Jesus. You recognize his voice. You recognize the voice of the Spirit. Some things you simply know are not Jesus. For example, if you heard from the Holy Spirit that you are rubbish, you are worthless, then you would know that is not the sort of thing that a counsellor, a carer, a friend would say. That doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong, the Holy Spirit can admonish us, but he was never going to put you down and tell you that you are worth nothing. And if I turned up next week and I said, actually, guys, I'm sorry about this, but I'm going to shut down St. Nicholas. I'm going to shut down St. Thomas. We're going to close all our church venues. And we're going to go out and live as solo Christians. You, being good biblical Christians, would come back to me and say, but Max, the Bible says that we shouldn't give up meeting together. The Bible says that we should encourage one another all the more. What you're saying doesn't sound like it's in line with the Bible. And of course, if I was to turn up next week, if I was to turn up next week and say, guys, I am sorry, but I have got it wrong. Previous rectors before me have got it wrong. Church leaders before them have got it wrong. Actually, when we have been saying that we worship one God expressed through the Holy Spirit, the Son and the Father, we got it wrong. Actually, we need to worship three separate gods. If I was to say that, you would know that was not of the Spirit, wouldn't you? Because actually, Christians throughout millennia have said we worship one God expressed through Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And so in testing the content through the Bible, through church tradition and Christians you trust, through what you know of the Holy Spirit, you can discern when you are hearing God and when you are not hearing God. So we test the source and we test the content. And finally, we test the fruit. Now, I've got to be careful here because it sounds a bit like we're wandering off into Christianese again, doesn't it? But what I mean by fruit is, when you live out what you hear from the Holy Spirit, does that show God's will in people's lives? Does that seem to be positive and fruitful and useful for God's kingdom to come? Because actually, the big issue here when we test is that it's not that we get it wrong, but that we get paralyzed. You see, we can walk around and we can go, well, that what I heard from the Holy Spirit seems to line up with the Bible. It seems to be something that other Christians would also believe. It seems to be the type of thing that the Holy Spirit might say. But what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong and I get it wrong? Well, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And you will be wrong. There are no guarantees. You are human. And sometimes you will make a mistake hearing from God. And people, that is okay. I've been wrong. Bishop Christopher's been wrong. The Archbishop Justin's been wrong. Mother Teresa's been wrong. Heck, even Moses was wrong when he thought he heard from God. But he still used those people. And he still uses me. And he can still use you if you're willing to go out and live by the Holy Spirit. But if you're so fearful that you're paralyzed, that you might be wrong, then of course the Holy Spirit can't do anything with you. What we can do is when we find that we are wrong, we can look at what happened. When we find that actually God didn't bless that after all. When we find that actually God's kingdom didn't seem to benefit from what I thought the Holy Spirit said. We can look at that and say, now, was that really the Holy Spirit? Or as I look back, did I really get more influenced by the world's ideas? Or was that possibly not the Holy Spirit, but a false spirit? Because it's not only the Holy Spirit who tries to speak to us. But actually, if we don't move at all, if we don't risk being wrong, then actually, the Holy Spirit can't use us. So there you go, the big idea. When we listen to our befriended friend, our Holy Spirit friend, we test the source, we test the content, and then we act and we test the fruit. We don't act on any one of those. We don't say that one of those seems to be right, and so actually that must be the Holy Spirit. But we use our minds. When you became a follower and apprentice of Jesus, your brain was not removed. Your brain is given to you by God, and we use our minds and our spirit-led hearts to test things. And we use all of those ways of discerning if it is the Holy Spirit. And we act. And we move forward. Because our faith is a faith of movement. A faith of risk. Our God is a God of the possible. We are apprentices to Jesus. And we listen to his Spirit. And then we go. Because God does speak today. And God speaks to you today.